This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this, but with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
Hey, remember how 20 years ago I switched to Progressive? Well, now it's the future, and I used all those savings to buy this new hologram phone. Because, you know, it's the future, and everything is holograms now.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and joining me right now is Giannis Giannaeus. This is another episode. We haven't done one of these in a while. I'm calling it Friday Night Fulham. This is going to be an interesting episode. We have a lot to talk about in this episode. To start off, Giannis and I will be talking about the COVID-19 cases at Fulham. We already talked about that last week. We'll just talk a little bit about that because Scott Parker has talked since then. We will then focus a little bit on the Mitro situation. We need to talk about that. And scheduled to join us 30 minutes into the episode, halfway through, is Jamie Reid from FFC TV. And he'll be on to help us preview the upcoming FA Cup match. We have a lot to get to. But before I do anything, Giannis, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm absolutely fabulous. And I'm delighted for all the salty Brentford fans right now who, you know, it's Wembley isn't for everybody. And winning at Wembley, it's not for everybody, let's be honest. And yes. They've been very salty since Tuesday night, which isn't for everybody, but it's all good. I'm great.
Good stuff there, Mike. Good stuff. All right. Let's get going, and let's just start here because, again, I haven't had you on since the COVID-19 situation at Fulham. So I just want to get your opening thoughts on that, and then I want to get your thoughts on what Scott Parker, who just recently talked, I believe it was yesterday, on it, and get your thoughts on his comments on the COVID-19 situation with Fulham.
Well, it's really erupted in the last couple of weeks. I mean, figures wise, I know stats here in Ontario and in Canada have really ballooned. I know in the UK today was, I think, its record death toll. And one of the things, Steve Bruce was interviewed today, and he said that morally he thinks it's wrong that we're playing football. K-Mac made a comment a couple of days ago saying, you know, why are we still playing? It's a very difficult situation, but one of the things we do now know with this strain is how quickly it's getting through the community. So we've had a number of clubs that have been affected. Obviously, our games against Tottenham and Burnley were cancelled. And it's a difficult situation, especially with you've had so many games over Christmas. Most teams are going to have 6 or 7 games in January, including the FA Cup. Then you've got to reschedule fixtures. You've got teams in Europe, teams that aren't. And so we've not played since Boxing Day against Southampton. The good news is that we will have had a break, so to speak, And the ha-ha game comes at a good time to give some, you know, one of our lesser, you know, some of our lesser like players some playing time. The negative is we don't really get to, you know, play together as a group. But Scotty said all the right things. Obviously, players were not named, which is good. And hopefully they get better, you know, everybody gets better soon. And the vaccine, you know, does its job and we can get back to some sense of normalcy. But Russ, where are you going now? It's a mess. I think we can all agree on that.
Totally agree, Giannis. It really is. And you and I were talking off air about it. And, you know, I just want everyone to be safe around the world, wherever you are. And, you know, it's funny when it finally, it's not funny, funny that it's all really coming together with everything and it hits home, meaning that it finally hits home with our Fulham community and with actually Fulham Football Club. And it really, you know, it really hits you. And, you know, I do like that Scott Parker did address it, Giannis, and that's going to lead to talk about what he had to say during his presser, because we're going to focus on Mitro in just a bit. And let's start here, because Scott Parker did share his thoughts on it, and they were pretty strong on Mitro and his situation, because now we have learned from the captain of Crystal Palace. He came out and he basically said he was sorry. We'll talk about thoughts on what Mitro maybe should do. We'll give our thoughts on it. But what are your thoughts on what Scott Parker shared on the Mitro situation?
Well, Scotty said all the right things, and quite rightly so. He's obviously very upset. He believes it's a breach of trust. Everybody in London is doing their bit to try and, you know, take care of each other. And when the pictures came out with him at, you know, Milivojevic's party, I think I put it out that about within half an hour of it going out, I put it on Twitter. When I now look at this, like, this is what we don't want. I mean, he's not been playing well. And then, yeah, I know obviously they're friends and yada, yada, yada. But the situation is that he's let his teammates down and he's let the team down and he's let the fans down, most of whom haven't, you know, seen Fulham in action in anger for nearly 10 months. So it was very disappointing for Mitro. And I know that obviously Scotty was disappointed, said the right things. And he said they dealt with it internally, whatever that means.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that because I don't know what that means. And, you know, what's interesting about all this, Giannis, is that Fulham handle things really well in-house and they don't really talk about situations like this. And, you know, in some ways I understand that because, again, I'm a fan of the New England Patriots and they don't tell you anything. But I think that there are certain situations where I think that it's okay to talk about it and it's okay to be open, meaning maybe put out a statement of some kind. And that's going to lead me to talk about what Peter Rutzler wrote in The Athletic. And because I actually put up a poll on this and I want your thoughts on this. Here's the headline to his article. This is from Peter Rutzler. Mitrovic owes Fulham fans an apology over COVID-19 breach. Now, like I mentioned, it already happened at Crystal Palace. So why not do it on the official Fulham account and have Mitro give the fans an apology? I think it would be the right thing to do. I understand keeping everything in-house, that they've done everything internally, but I think he does owe the fans an apology. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think he does owe the fans an apology because they will have fans. We may well have fans who have lost family members during COVID, and we know that all the Fulham fans have made sacrifices during COVID because, you know, they've done their thing: the social distancing, hand washing, you know, staying in bubbles, not visiting people at Christmas and New Year. And you got, you know, Mitro going out and ruddy well partying. And the optics are terrible.
Yes.
It's not on. And I believe he should apologize. These footballers get paid a lot of money. Whatever we think of him, he's a public figure. And It's very disappointing to see. It's very disappointing to see. And I'd like to see an apology. I think he does owe it to the, the club. He's probably said it to the club.
He probably has, exactly. But why not come out in public? And like I said, I understand how they do their business for a football club. But I think this is the exception to the rule. I think there's a time and place to make statements. Even the New England Patriots have done this. So I don't understand why it would be a big deal to have Mitro make a statement here, like you had mentioned the Crystal Palace captain did. So why can't Mitrovic do the same thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just, the optics right now don't look good. So I'm hoping sooner rather than later we'll hear something from the club or the player or both. But it's certainly an apology that's warranted and should be extended to the fans as soon as possible.
Okay, excellent. And now that's going to talk about, you know, and again, they've handled this internally. We don't know what that means, like you and I said, Giannis. And I'll mention this because, again, I listen regularly to the Fulmish podcast, and they actually had a good discussion on this, and I listened to it this morning. And I want to give Sammy James some credit here because he put this out there, and I was thinking about it. So I'm going to bring up this topic, and I want to give him credit. Now, Sammy was just thinking out loud. He was throwing it out there that maybe Mitro should miss a couple games or have a hefty fine. So your thoughts on this? And again, good job by the guys at Fulmish for talking about. So I thought we should talk about, like I said, we don't know what they've done, but what are your thoughts on this? Should he miss a game or two? Should he just deal with a hefty fine? You know, again, it's about deterring this from happening in the future. He is a leader with Fulham Football Club, and shouldn't the club make a statement here? Again, they probably, or I shouldn't say probably, maybe they have, we don't know. They said they've handled it internally, but what do you think that they should have done?
Well, the fine, I think that I'm going to assume they've already given Mitro a fine, and it doesn't matter what anyone says. If it hits you in the pocket, nobody likes it. So he'll get a fine. Will he be suspended? Well, we won't find out till tomorrow. But right now, we're so short of strikers. Really, it's counterproductive if we start suspending players. I mean, would I have a problem doing it? No. I wouldn't. And if it is done, would I have a problem with it? No. I just don't think it will be done. I think they'll give a fine. But I'm disappointed again in Mitro because he's a leader in the club. We've got a lot of young players. And I don't understand his behavior. I really don't. It doesn't make any sense to me. And he's supposed to be a role model, and he's one of the top highest paid players in the club, and what he did let everybody down. So, I'd be curious. I mean, Russ, really curious of the aftermath of this.
Yep.
Will the club, as a response, say, well, you know what? You're not playing well. The commitment's not great. You've gone and done this now. Do we see a parting of the ways? I don't know. I mean, it could be interesting to have that.
Well, that's interesting. And again, that's another part of this. I don't know if that would be their way of handling this. You know, and again, I'm not saying that they should, because I think Mitro should be a part of Fulham Football Club moving forward. You know, we've only seen examples of him loving the club. But I think this, to me, would be sending a message, like you said, a hefty fine or potentially some kind of suspension internally. Like I said, not by the league, but by Fulham Football Club, just to make a statement as a deterrent. You know, not get rid of him. I personally, Giannis, do not want to get rid of Mitro. We talked about this on the last show. I think he's an integral part of Fulham. I just think a message should be sent, not just to him, but to everyone, that we're serious about COVID-19. We're serious about breaking protocols. We all need to be on the same page, and I think a message should be sent. Now, what's interesting about this is when I sent out this poll earlier that's on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, or I'm sorry, on the Twitter page, someone commented that, well, basically I'm paraphrasing, talking about the cases with the players that tested positive. Now, the issue with that, Giannis, is that we don't know anything. We don't know the players for privacy reasons. I certainly respect that. But two, we don't know if they have caught it wherever, you know, that they broke protocol. So that to me is separate than us talking about a situation where someone broke protocol. But if someone has broken protocol, I think that they should deal with the consequences of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Although I think that's a great, I think it's a great comment, because you could question if a player's contracted COVID, where do they contract it from?
Exactly. Mike Gregg actually said, you know, again, we've seen it. You can contract it anywhere.
Anywhere.
So you know, it's difficult to really, you know, nail someone down unless, if, like I said, if there were protocols broken, then I could understand it. This is different. This was a protocol. A COVID-19 protocol was broken with Mitro.
Yeah. And the irony, of course, is that as far as we know, he doesn't have COVID, although, of course, it's not been reported. Yep. But no, I mean, all the players are quite aware that for the season to continue, this has been the big thing, for the season to continue at any level required the players and the coaching staff to maintain very strict protocols. The cases are rising quickly, and there's now the morality of whether people should be playing football when basically society is shut down over there to all intents and purposes. So that's going to start creeping into the game. Now, while you have a playing under that umbrella, if you've got players that circumvent the system, do what Mitro did, yep, it increases the potential cause for shutting the game down. But it's
right.
But it also brings the game into disrepute. And it looks really, really, really bad on any player. I mean, Mitro, it does not. It's an eyesore right now because, you know, everybody, wherever you live around the world, are going through this stuff, various degrees, and we're all doing our bit. And just, you know, he's a husband, he's a father, he's a leader. And it's a terrible example to set. So it is disappointing. I'm not angry. I just feel let down by him in his behavior. And we'll see what the next steps are going to be. But one thing we do know, Scotty was less than amused in the press conference. And right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, my opinion, Scott Parker showed strength there, but the way that he spoke about this whole situation. And, you know, I think that's what the club needs right now. And again, we don't know the players that have dealt with COVID-19, but like I said, this is a separate situation with Mitro. This is just breaking protocol. But I think that it's important that we talk about it. And I just want to share this comment because we are talking about Mitro, and this is where Mitro divides opinion, even just being a foreign player. This is from our friend Chris Davidson in Spain. If an offer comes in for Mitro, then sell him. Not just because of breaking the rules, but because he offers Fulham very little now. What are your thoughts about that, Giannis?
Oh, it's a tough one. Offers very little to Fulham right now. Chris has a point. He's not playing well. He hasn't played well for a little while. He's not been playing anyway. If you can get a price, would you sell him on? The problem with that is you have to get another striker or two or three in. Something has happened behind the scenes. This breaking a protocol may be the culmination of a bunch of things. Let's see who's desperate enough to want to get a striker that can help them at some level where we can recoup a lot of the cost, or will he recoup his form, which is the best case scenario.
Yep.
And maybe a game against the Ha-Has will kick that into gear, because he's just not looked right this year.
No, he hasn't, Giannis. And, we've talked about this on Cottage Talk. Does it have to do with the system that Scotty's playing? Does he just not fit in the way that Parker wants to play? Or are we letting Mitro off the hook on this? Is he just not playing to his ability? Or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's that, and I think he's not fit. He's not fully fit, okay, whether it's injuries.
And many fans have mentioned that.
Yeah, he's just he doesn't.
Whatever reason, he's not back to 100% yet.
Yeah, he's got. He didn't have the greatest pace before, but right now he's lead-legged, and it's sort of odd because you've got two very quick and creative wingers, really. You know, Lookman, Deco, Dover, Reed. And I'm not saying, I mean, Cavalera looks quicker than Mitro.
Yeah,
and it's really sort of a waste to have two creative wingers do what they do when you got a lump up front. So Mitro wasn't like that last year, but he's really struggling with whatever injury and weight. I still question his weight. Questioned it in preseason. He's still, I think, got a problem there.
Do you think playing for his country, the amount that he played has had an effect on his performance with Fulham?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, injuries, whether we like it or not, they catch up and they come. Like you get one knock and you play through, and all of a sudden a second one creeps in, and then the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah,
and he's a penny for the thoughts of Mitra right now and what's going on in his head.
Yeah,
I'd really like to know. But I do hope that if he does play tomorrow, I mean, a goal might just jumpstart his season.
I hope so. And I'm still a huge fan of Mitra's, you know, and again, I'm a fan of his, you know, I love everything, you know, going back to the beginning of his time with Fulham. But I think that, again, if we just deny the situation that he's been dealing with, like I said, not playing well, does not look fit. And then, of course, we're talking about the COVID situation. I don't think we're doing right by everyone that listens to and watches the show. We have to talk about it. We have to be honest, and not pretend that Mitro is not really doing all the right things on the pitch and off the pitch. You know, and again, injuries could be a part of it as well. But, you know, I think it's fair to have this conversation about Mitro. I think it's very fair. And I just hope that, like you said, he scores a goal and everything gets jump-started and we forget about all this and we move on. But I am glad, and before we move on talking about the Mitro situation, that this situation at least has been handled internally by the club. And I'll just say it one last time. I just wish that Mitro made a statement to the fans. I you know, again, I agree with this. I agree with what Peter wrote. And I just think it would really go a long way to do that. And I don't think it's a big deal to do that. And I know how Fulham handles their business. I don't think that this is going against the way that they keep things in-house. I think a statement is actually a good thing to do, and I hope it's being considered. All right. All right, my friend, let's move on. And we will talk a little bit about this with Jamie, but let's talk about this. I want to do some transfer speculation. Everyone loves transfer speculation.
Yes.
We have to go here, my friend. When I saw this, I just rolled my eyes. Let's do it. Let's do it, Giannis. Transfer speculation with Dwight Gayle once again. How many times are we going to see this? And I believe he's 32 years old or, 30. You know, again, what?
30, just turned 30.
Okay. Right now. Yeah. So he is not a young player anymore. Not a young player. And what are your thoughts of us being linked to Dwight Gayle again? And do you think this is possible this time?
Well, a couple of times we've been very close to getting him, but you've got a player that's not playing, and we've talked about this. You know, he's too good for the Championship, not good enough for Premier League.
Yeah, so it's kind of an in between.
Sort of an in between. But where I think this would be a good move is actually because of what I said about 5 minutes ago about Mitro.
Yeah,
because when you've got Lookman and Decordova Reed with pace wide. If you add pace down the middle, that becomes tough. And that means that it would allow Scotty to set up very, very much as a counter-attacking team, you know, that hits teams in the break. Teams will get nervous if they're attacking, and then all of a sudden they see these three yahoos fly down like gazelles, and all of a sudden you get taken for pace. I mean, someone like Harry Maguire. You know, and Lindelof would have had nightmares seeing these three bear down on them. So if it's, you know, for tactical reasons, adding Gayle would actually make sense in terms of adding pace to the attack. And I think there's some story to these rumors because it's happened earlier. I don't think this is an accident. I think Gayle wants to play, and we're a club that would like him. And would we play him? Yes, we would. And I think he'd be a good addition. I think still think we're another striker, sure.
Right.
And they've got to take into account what could happen with Mitro, all the potential loans out. Will we get any earns in? But I did laugh when I saw it, but I think this time it might actually happen.
I wouldn't be against this happening because I could see the way the Fulham are playing, I could see how Dwight Gayle could fit. Now, I've seen some comments from the Fulham supporters that he's injury prone. I'm not going to disagree with that. That's actually very true. But, you know, with this situation, with COVID-19, getting a player, say, you know, from, say, outside of the UK right now, I think is going to be very difficult. And I think it's going to have to be, you know, again, this is just my opinion. I'm not saying to not look outside of the UK, not or just even in just in England. But I think that it's just going to be difficult, Giannis. I think that they should be focusing on the championship, focusing on players like, you know, like Dwight Gayle, because I think it's going to be difficult to get someone from outside of the UK right now to come based on everything that's going on in the world. So I certainly understand that. And that's why I wanted to mention that Fulham are in a tough spot because they are a striker light, you know, or, you know, again, no matter what way you look at it, even Scott Parker has said that. Scott Parker has talked about this, Giannis. He knows. I mean, he knows what we know, you know. So, you know, it's very interesting that we talk about that. And I want to mention one other thing because, and again, I want to give credit to the Fulhamish podcast because, you know, they're looking for a solution to our striker issue. And they're looking internally, you know, what we already have. You know, some have said, well, how about Ruben Loftus-Cheek? Here's an interesting one. And again, I want to give credit to the Fulhamish podcast. I listened to it this morning, so I want to ask you the same question. Could Bobby Dekker Dover-Reed play up front? Now, think about this. Play the Mitro role instead of Cavallero. And then, you know, you could have, when Kenny Tete is ready to go, Kenny Tete plays that right wing back role. And he could slot in. What are your thoughts about that? You know, and again, they had a very interesting conversation. I want to give them credit. One of the downfalls, I can't remember which one of the guys said it, was that they don't know if Bobby Dekker Dover-Reed can hold up the ball because actually Cavallero has shown that ability. You know, great stuff on the Fulhamish podcast today. I would highly recommend listening to their latest episode and all their episodes. And congratulations on their 300 episodes and now they're going beyond that. What are your thoughts about what they brought up? Could Bobby Dekker Dover-Reed play up front if things don't work out getting someone in? And I do think that they will. But what are your thoughts about this? Could it work?
Yeah, it could, because he could play anywhere. We can put it in the left back. I mean, he's been brilliant. Where you've got a player that's that coachable and that's that versatile in a number of positions, yes, you can utilize him. You can ask him to hold the ball up. Maybe he can't play the classic centre-forwards role.
Yeah.
The thing about him is he's a deceptively good passer. He's a passer and mover. Right? We know that. He's got quick feet. He can shoot, and he will look to spread the field. And he's good at running into pockets. So he's one of these fellas that Scotty could say, "Look, I need you to do me a job, Bobby," and they'll be okay. What am I doing?
Yep.
And that's it. And he'll just and those are the players you want. Bobby Dekker Dover-Reed. Somebody put on Facebook earlier today about he's, you know, BDR has quietly, you know, has quietly won a lot of fans. No, he's not done it quietly. He's done it loudly. He's done it very loudly.
Absolutely.
And started from last year. This fellow can play. And he's been a very productive member of the team. Much better Premier League performances than he did with Cardiff, that's for sure. He's a cat that's been let out of the bag. And he looks like he's having fun out there. And he's done really, really well. So can he play up front? Yes. But really, there's no excuse for us not to get strikers. And there are free agents out there, Russ.
I'm not saying Bobby Dekker Dover-Reed and don't bring in a striker. Let me stress that. And I'm seeing the comments that people are commenting while we're doing the show. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying as an option, you know, again, in the meantime, to try to figure out to get the best out of your squad, would that be an option? You know, again, if, say, he doesn't want to go with Mitro, say he wants an alternative to Cavallero. Because Cavallero, for all the good that he's done at that position, and he's done a lot of good, he's just not a scorer. Bobby Dekker Dover-Reed has a better ratio to score. You know, he just is just a better goal scorer than Cavallero. That's kind of where I was going on this, and that's where the guys on the Fulhamish podcast were. I'm not saying don't bring in a striker. Let me just stress that. I want them to bring in a striker. I think they need to bring in a striker. I'm just saying, in the meantime, as an option, and even when you need to, why would it be so terrible to play Bobby Decadova Reed in that role?
No, it wouldn't be at all.
Because, again, you're trying to get the most out of what you have right now. And I think, you know, and again, if you're just asking me, I think that he could potentially do the role better than Ivan Cavallaro. I'm just throwing it out there. This is with Kenny Tete coming back. I'm just throwing it out there. I found the Fulmish guys, you know, again, just a good conversation on it, so I thought I would bring it up with you, my friend. But, you know, and again, just in the transfer window in general, let's get to it. We're obviously focused on striker, right? Anything else that you're looking for in the transfer window?
Well, back four looks pretty set. We've got Kongolo could come back, but we don't know when. There's Hector and Ream. There's going to be a number of players. I mean, Steph Joe, K-Mac, Seri has been linked to Galatasaray. We'll want to play. I saw that Knockart's loan was extended till the end of the season. I'd like to see if we can get, you know, one, if not two strikers in. And maybe that's about it. If there was any chance of getting an attacking midfielder in, that'd be fine. But of course we have to have a squad of 25 players. So there's really got to be a lot of swip and swatch. Well, and that's going to be a tough one.
Right. And, you know, and that's something that I think we really should talk about. When we talk about the transfer window, we have to talk about players going out because players have to go out, right? Yeah. You know, we do have this bloated squad. There are players that, again, are not getting a chance to play. You know, we could also talk about the Seri situation possibly. He'll be going to Galatasaray. Again, there's all this talk about potentially on loan, but we'll see. We'll see. But if you bring in players, who's going to come out, Giannis? And then here's a player that we have not talked about. How about Josh Onuma coming back?
Yeah.
That's also part of the mix here.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, the first two people I'd think of in terms of loans out could be Tim Ream and Maxime Le Marchand.
Okay.
Le Marchand's not played a lot. And Tim Ream, and I'd be loath to, because he's a left-footed centre-back, but he's going to want to, he's age 33, he's going to want to get a little bit of playing time.
Yeah.
Josh Onuma, I don't know how he gets in this lineup unless...
I don't know either.
Unless there's a clause that says we can send Loftus-Cheek back, but Parker likes him, and Parker thinks he'll come good. So we'll see there. But those are the two. But then does that leave us light at the back? You've got Kenny Tati coming back.
Yep.
You've got Hector there, but the fullbacks are playing very well. Plus, you've got Joe Bryan as cover. So could you get away with, for the last, we've got 23 games in the season? It would be a risk getting rid of both Le Marchand and Ream, but I think it could. I don't know with Onuma. I just don't know. I don't think there's space right now. And up front, I mean, Naiskens Cabana works very hard.
Yeah.
I think he'll probably be able to stay on, but there are some difficult decisions to make, but ultimately it has to be to create the squad, the 25 that will keep us up. And Scotty's going to have to have some tough, some courageous conversations with a few players. But ultimately, whether we love them or we don't,
yep,
we do want the squad that's going to finish 1 point or plus one goal difference and the same points as team in 18th. And so that's why getting a striker, I think, is number one. If you can get two, even better.
Okay. I'm just going to share some comments. Here's from Steve Liddy. Kongolo has been a waste of our 25-man squad place being injured. It's an interesting point. Yeah. Followed up by Ben Lawrence saying Le Marchand can go. That will make space for someone. We've already talked a little bit about that. Here's an interesting one. Again, this is from Steve because we're talking about needs. Play Brian on left wing. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, I wouldn't be averse to that. Yeah, I wouldn't be Joe Bryan can do it. I mean, I know it's, you know, we're going to moan and go, he can do whatever he wants as far as he's concerned. I mean, the other day, that you know, it was New Year's Eve and it was the moment of 2020. Sir Joe Bryan. That moment, that free kick, that goal with the 1-2 with Mitra, that. And if any Brentford fans on here, you're on the wrong channel. Go to the Bees one. You're here, this is full of. Well, he could do whatever he wants. He can let him. He just legend. He doesn't need to have to kick a ball ever again for the club. He could leave on loan, and we'll still love him because of that moment.
What's funny, Giannis, is that I actually spent part of New Year's watching back the playoff final. And, again, it's just wonderful to look back. And how can you forget about Joe O'Brien? And I'm just going to share another comment here. And it looks like Jamie might be with us. I think he's just getting ready to join us. And I'll bring Jamie on in a second. Here's Ollie Ward. Don't mess with the defense. They've made a massive difference. It's all about up front.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic at the back. Let's not forget Areola, who's been superb.
He's been fantastic.
Absolutely superb.
He's been fantastic. Okay, Giannis. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jamie Reid from FFC TV, and we're going to start our preview of the upcoming FA Cup match against QPR. Okay, Giannis, let's get into it. Let's bring on our special guest. Joining us from FFC TV is our good friend Jamie Reid. Jamie, how are you doing? You're on with myself and Giannis. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks, Ross. Yeah, lovely to see you and Giannis. I hope you're both keeping nice and well and looking forward to a bit of FA Cup football tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jeremy.
And we look forward to talking a little bit about that with you. But to get us going, I really want to just talk about the season so far through your eyes. You know, again, we're not quite halfway through, but I want to get your thoughts on Fulham season so far, and then we'll talk a little bit what's been happening lately, but let's just get your view of the season through your eyes.
Well, I think it was a slow start, wasn't it? I think everybody would agree with that, and I think there was mitigating circumstances. There were a lot of new players that have come in to join the club. I think the positive for me is that the players that have come in have quickly adapted. I think there's been a greater style of football, and when I say that, I mean I think the team has worked hard off the pitch. And you look at Scott Parker, he's a football man through and through. You know, he lives and breathes the game. And I think that shows, you know, the players have got that tried and tested formula where they've done a lot of their work at Motspur Park. And then come the weekend or the midweek game, wherever it might be, they understand the pattern of play that Scott wants to adopt. So I think it was a slow start, and I think it's steadily improved. You look at the goals against column, and Giannis made a great point. The goalkeeper, Alphonse Areola, is absolutely superb for me. The two central defenders, wonderful players. And I think the other defenders have all played their part. You look at Bobby Decordova Reed, he's come in on that right-hand side and helped out Ola Aina. And over on the left-hand side, Anthony Robinson-Russ. I think he's been absolutely fantastic.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more, Jamie. And, you know, and that's what's great, because we've actually seen the development of these players. And I'm glad that we're talking a lot about the players. Again, a complete new defense, you know, and that takes time to gel. And you've watched it right in front of you, Jamie, from, say, the beginning to what we have now. It's like night and day.
Yeah, it is. And I think it just goes to show how much hard work does go in on the training ground. And I think that's reflective. Anderson's made a big, big difference. Yes. I was very impressed with Tosin Adebayo when he came into the side. And again, an absolute snip. I think one thing we need to talk about at this point, Russ, and people will always say I'm a glass half full merchant, and I am. I always try and see the positive in things. But you look at the transfer windows and you look at the recruitment, I think Tony Khan and his team have done an absolutely wonderful job. A couple of seasons ago in the Premier League, we brought some good players, but what we couldn't do, we couldn't sort of get everybody to gel, and some of the good players couldn't necessarily do it in a Fulham shirt. You look at the players that have come in this season, and I think you've got to give a big, huge tip of the hat to Tony and his staff, because they've worked wonders. They've brought the right players to the club, and not only the right players, but the right temperaments and the ability to want to come into the side and perform. And that doesn't always happen. But I think if you get the right characters in, as much as ability, it's about what you do on and off the pitch. And I think we're seeing players who want to play for the club. And that's a real positive.
And I'm glad that you said that, Jamie. That's a great point, because you can have the most talented player, but if it's not the right fit, or if they don't really want to be at the club, I'm not saying that there's a player, I'm not giving any specifics, just in general, if they're not for the cause, if they don't want to be there, then it's just not going to work. It could be the most talented player in the world. You're not going to gel with your teammates. It's pretty obvious that these players are enjoying playing together and they're working together very well, and they're playing for the manager, which I think is very key.
Yeah, absolutely. The three of us are all Fulham fans, and everybody watching around the world, wherever that might be, Fulham fans as well, and echoing those sentiments. And that is the huge positive. I don't think that Scott overcomplicates things. I think he gives people the right sort of structure, the right sort of balance. And one player I think we've got to look at and perhaps pick out who's been a real linchpin in midfield. I'm talking about Andre Frank Zambo-Anguissa. Oh, I think he'd be absolutely wonderful. And you think back to the back end of last season, or the season in the Premier League, when Scott came in, he got something out of him and he played remarkably well. He really did. And throughout this season, he's been absolutely superb. And I think that sort of echoes those sentiments that that both of you have been sort of making. Everybody wants to go out there and perform for the manager.
Absolutely. And I think that's key. You know, you all have to be on the same page and you all have to believe in the plan that's in front of you. And they're all buying in. It's about the buy-in. If you don't have someone that's buying in, that's going to hurt you. And it doesn't seem like they have that issue. But Jamie, right before you came on, we were talking a little bit about the transfer window. Quickly, I want to get your thoughts as you're watching the club, you and Jim on a regular basis. What do you see as potential places where the club needs to strengthen? You know, Scott Parker's already said we're light at striker. What are your thoughts about that? And is there anywhere else where you think, you know what, maybe they need another player at this position or at another position? Well, what are your thoughts?
I think I've got to be honest and say I don't think we necessarily need to do too much. And sometimes I think you can sort of over-tinker. And Scott has mentioned that he would like to give some of the players who aren't getting an opportunity the chance to go out and play some football. And right. You think of somebody like Jean-Michel Seri, who's a talented player but hasn't really got any game time this season. He wasn't in the 25-man squad. I think there'll be an opportunity for him and one or two others perhaps to go out and taste some football. And I think that's what you want to see. You want to see players put up their hands, rather like what Anthony Knockaert has done. He could have perhaps sulked and thought, look, I don't want to go out there and play football. I want to be a Fulham player. But Scott didn't necessarily think that he would get much game time in the Premier League. So he's been able to go to Nottingham Forest. And he's certainly picking up, isn't he? His form and performances have steadily sort of improved. So that's a positive. I think there'll be some players leaving the club without doubt. I'd like to see a forward in because I think we are short in that area. There's some talented young players coming through. And certainly you look at some of the players in PL2 and one or two of the youngsters who've been given an opportunity. I think there's some talented players who will get an opportunity between now and the end of the campaign. But it's a very, very difficult sort of league to come into and look to try and stake your claims. So I think we've got to be realistic. We've got to think that Scott does need some players to come in. I wouldn't look at wholesale changes, but I would like to see a forward and perhaps one or two additional squad players coming in. And I tell you what, one player who I'm excited about getting an opportunity in the second half of the season, and that's Josh Onuma.
We were just talking about Onuma. How does he fit in all this, Jamie? Because again, we have so many central midfielders, where does he fit in all this? That's a great point to talk about.
Yeah, I think he'll get an opportunity because he's a player that Scott trusts. And you look at what he's done. He did very well as a young player at Tottenham. And he was very, very highly rated at White Hart Lane. He got the opportunity to come to Spurs. And I think it was a remarkable piece of business that we managed to get a lot of money for Ryan Sessegnon, who, let's not forget, is a very, very talented player. So I was sad to see Sess go. And, you know, if there was an opportunity to get him back, I'd jump in the car and go and collect him. It would be lovely to see him back at Fulham. But you have to say we've done remarkably well to get Josh to the club. It wasn't a sort of situation where he came as a make weight. I think he came as a talented player in his own right. And Scott, Matt Wells, Rob Birch, you know, guys who worked at Spurs, saw that ability, decided to bring him in. And I tell you what, I think he'll be a very good player to be in and around the squad. Whether he'll be a starter to get things up and running in the new year, I'm not necessarily sure that will be the case. But I think he'll steadily work his way into the side. And rather like he did last season, I think he'll show everyone the talent and ability that he's got, Russ.
Okay, excellent. Giannis, do you have any question for Jamie?
No, but I was just thinking, are you as pumped, Jamie, about, forget tomorrow's game, next Friday, Are you as pumped about that game as I am? The reason being that, you know, when Scotty came to the club, we knew there was a mess. And he said that he had to try and change a culture within that, the playing staff. And he did that. Yeah. Everything else is history. But for the last 12 months ago, the bang has been going around about Premier League managers, and particularly Lampard. You look at Lampard's record at Derby, and now you look at it at Chelsea. And Scotty's done such a wonderful job, quiet job of doing everything. And this is going to be I'm really excited about that game because it's a litmus test of what Scotty has done as a coach, a true coach with limited resources versus what Frank Lampard has done, spending $200 million. And I think Scotty is going to be fired up as hell for this game. I think he's earmarked this and has gone, that is the showdown. That's where I'm going to prove that what you can do with coaching. And I'm so excited for Scotty because I think we're going to be ready for the buggers. I really do. I was wondering how you feel about it. If rarely do we have that coaching showdown, but this one I think could be.
Good point, Giannis. Jamie?
I think it's a wonderful question, Giannis. I really do. And Russ agreeing, and I think you can certainly see that Scott has done a wonderful job, and the pressure's on Frank Lampard. It really is, because he spent all of that money, and let's not take anything away from Chelsea, because if all of their players click, you would expect them to win the game, and that's not being defeatist. I think that's being realistic. Having said that, you look at the way Scott's got our players playing, and I think it goes back to what I said at the start. I think the Fulham players are clearly playing for the shirt more than what the Chelsea players are.
Yeah.
Fulham players aren't earning the money that the Chelsea players are. I'm not saying that the players aren't well recompensed, because the club are good payers and do look after their players. But the Chelsea players are on, well, real big, big salaries, aren't they? And the pressure is on them, because you would expect them to be in the top two, if not top of the Premier League, with regards to how much Frank Lampard's spent. He is a very, very talented young coach, young manager, however you want to look at it. Take nothing away from him. I've been very impressed with him. I think he handles himself well in the media. But let's not forget Scott. He goes completely under the radar. And I tell you what, Giannis, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful question. And I think we will be ready for that fixture. I'm looking forward to it, certainly.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Coach versus coach. It's going to be interesting. I'm glad that you brought that up, Giannis. It gives us something to really sink our teeth into next week for that upcoming match. Okay, Jamie, before we really talk about the FA Cup match against QPR, I think this is a good lead-in, because I think we're going to see some of the ramifications. We have to talk about I want to get your thoughts on the COVID-19 situation with Fulham. And I saw Scott Parker's comments on it. It sounds like things are heading in the right direction. What are your thoughts on all this with with all the cases that they had and how they're dealing with it?
Well, it's a global pandemic, Russ, and it's affected everybody. And you hear different stories, and different people have got their own take on it. But you've only got to look at the amount of people that have lost their lives to know that it's very, very serious.
Absolutely.
And all of our thoughts are with everybody who's suffering, whether it be losing somebody or whether you know somebody who has had difficulties and perhaps they're now feeling better. You really do feel for the players and those that have been affected, because I think it almost puts football in the shade when you see such situations like this. The club, for me, has handled it brilliantly. It's very, very difficult. Scott would have loved to get the players out there. And let's not forget, in the Premier League, there's such great significance on the fixtures. You don't want to go to Tottenham. You don't want to go to Burnley. And you don't want to be in a situation where you're playing young players or you're not playing your full side. Certainly, the Burnley fixture represented a great chance to pick up 3 points at Turf Moor. So I think the club did things right. They said, look, okay, we're going to get these players tested. The players were tested. There were a lot of players suffering, a lot of players who were clearly under the weather, and that was picked up in those tests. And they said to the Premier League, look, I'd like you to convene, I'd like you to have a meeting, and I'd like you to reach an outcome on whether the game goes ahead or it doesn't. The club did things in a professional way. Yes, okay, I can understand the frustrations of Burnley and Tottenham, but you've only got to look at the integrity of the competition. Should Tottenham have picked up a big win or Burnley picked up a big win? Is it fair on Fulham? Is it fair on the other sides, whether it be at the top or the bottom of the Premier League? Not for me. So I think everything is right. They've worked hard on the training ground. It's had a thorough clean. And it's unfortunate. You see Aston Villa, you see so many of the clubs that have been in this situation, Newcastle. You can't do a lot about it. It's just one of those things where a lot of people are suffering with the effects of the virus. And it's a real big concern, isn't it? And fortunately, he says, touching wood, hopefully we're now over the worst of it as a club.
Hopefully. But as you said, this is an ongoing situation worldwide. This is not just limited to Fulham. We're talking about, because obviously we're Fulham supporters, but I just hope that they are on the other side of it. Like, you know, I'm paraphrasing what Scott Parker said, that they're on the road to recovery with the situation within Fulham Football Club. I just wish everyone a very speedy recovery and get back to yourselves. And it's just a tough situation with COVID-19. And I just wish everyone that is, like you said, Jamie, very well, who's suffering with it, have lost members, families, friends. It's terrible. And I'm just thinking about everyone that has had to deal with it. It's terrible. But I think I agree with you, Jamie. I think Fulham have handled it about as best as they can. Okay, let's now focus on the FA Cup match that you and Jim will be covering tomorrow. So, Jamie, I'll just go to you, and then I'll get Giannis's thoughts. Your thought on playing QPR, and what do you think we're going to see from a Fulham lineup? Yeah, I've tried to get a feel for what Scott Parker is going to do based on his press. So what are your thoughts?
I think we'll get to see some squad players, Russ, because take nothing away from the FA Cup. I think it's a wonderful competition, but it has lost that little bit of its magic, that little bit of its appeal. I think the players do enjoy playing in the competition, but there's such a great significance now, isn't there, on the Premier League. You look at the amount of money that the club can earn just by finishing perhaps one place up in the division, that it means the greatest significance has to be played on the Premier League. And if we were to finish fourth from bottom this season, people might say, look, you know, you're being a little bit down on the players and we can finish higher up the table. I'd love that to be the case. But I think if we could finish fourth from bottom, it would be a wonderful season. And if we could have a little cup run, well, that would be nice too. But certainly for me, the big, big prize is to stay up in the Premier League. And I think that's why Scott will have a look. He'll be forced to possibly not be at his best because there are one or two players that have missed a bit of training and he will leave one or two out, I'm sure. But I still think the team should be strong enough to hopefully see off QPR.
Okay, excellent. Giannis, I'm going to put you in the shoes of Scott Parker. Again, we don't know the players that have been affected by COVID-19 that will not be available. We just don't know. But what would be your approach against QPR?
As Jamie said, just rotate the players a little bit. The priority has to be to stay in the league. You've got players that have been playing too much. Give them a chance. They're playing against the QPR side that's struggling at the moment. I mean, I like Mark Warburton as a coach, and I've got a lot of respect for him. But the results just haven't gone their way, and he's under pressure there. I don't think they're going to go down, but I do think that a nice little cup run for them would help. It's funny how, I mean, if you look at this squad from last year to this year, they, you know, they're barely recognisable. But the loss of Eberechi Eze and what he's done at Palace. Yeah. And we saw him last year and saw what he could do. But, he's taking it to another level. But he will be, Scotty will have one eye on the game next Friday for sure. Yeah. And so players that haven't played so much, rotate them in and hope we can get a result. And I agree with Jane. I mean, I'm excited for this weekend, but it's not for the Fulham game. I hate to tell you this, but I'm really excited about the Marine versus Tottenham game.
Oh,
because it's such a spectacular story that you've got a ninth tier team, the biggest game in 130 years, and just, you know, they've managed to get sponsors into the game and everything they've done. And it is really the romance of the FA Cup growing up as a kid, and it's going to be so exciting to see that game, just because Mourinho's already said, I'm going to put a lot of my best players out, which I think is super. So, you know, mindful of the ha-ha, I call it the ha-ha game, you know, we want to make it through. But the way back when, the FA Cup was all about the giant killers versus the minnows, and the Marine Tottenham is such an incredible fixture just because it's so unthinkable to happen. And it's such a tragedy that with COVID, they're not going to have fans up there on Merseyside. But I feel good. From our perspective, we make a number of changes. We can already guess who's going to come in. rested, and I think we should be fine.
Okay. That's going to lead us to end with talking about predictions. Giannis, I'll go to you first. What's your prediction?
I have to apologize to Ollie. You just said, is this a Fulham channel or a Tottenham channel? I think we're going to nick it. I think we'll nick it 2-1. I'm curious to see the players that he's going to pick. I think Scotty can't put a foot wrong in my eyes anyway, and I think we'll be fine. And I hope it's a good game. And I think whether you're Fulham or you're QPR or fans around the country, we all need to be cheered up right now. And this is one of the few sources of entertainment we do have.
Yep.
And so I hope it's an entertaining game for both teams.
And I'll be watching that. How about you, Jamie? You're going to have a first-hand look at this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Giannis. I think it might end in a 2-1 victory. I fancy that QPR might score first, and that's what happened, wasn't it, the last time we went there last season. And let's not forget that game, because after losing the first two games back after the lockdown, the Brentford and Leeds fixtures, there was pressure on Scott going into that game.
Absolutely.
We at Loftus Road, and that was almost what really kick-started and got us going. So the club's made great, great strides and really pushed forward in the time from that fixture to this, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I think we will nick it, yeah.
Okay, excellent, and I agree with you guys. I have one final topic, and this actually comes from a regular watcher of the show, you could say listener. And Jamie, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I saw this, I'm like, you know what, this is a good topic for us. Rescheduled matches work in our favor or not later in the season? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it kind of depends, doesn't it, on the intensity of the side that you're going to be playing. There are some midweek fixtures or midweek dates available, so we might be able to get the season in or might be able to get the fixture in earlier in the season than what you think. But should Tottenham have sewn up a top four place later in the season, maybe it will be a good time to play them. But I think okay. You can always say there's pluses and minuses. Burnley could be safe later in the season, but there could be great significance on both sides. So I think it's a good point that Brian makes, and thank you very much for posing that question. But I have to think to myself that it probably will be slotted in sooner rather than later. I think we can go to Turf Moor and win. And I tell you what, I think we could shock a few people in that fixture at White Hart Lane against Tottenham. They're a very, very talented side. But I'm not overly concerned, because I think we're playing so well and we look so solid defensively.
See, Jamie, I'm glad that you brought this up, because I've said this, and whenever I say this, people are looking at me like, why are you saying this? I don't see a club right now, if you use Liverpool as the litmus test, that we cannot play with. Man City, again, yes, potentially Man City is one that it's just going to be very difficult to get anything off of. But why can't they get a result against Chelsea? Why can't they get a result against Man United? And why can they not get a result against Tottenham, Jamie? I don't see a reason why they can't. They've already shown the ability to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And bang on for me. You two chaps have watched the games. You've watched the matches this season. And you have to think to yourself, Manchester City are a real talented side. And it might have been more than the 2-0. But you look at the goals, and it was a fairly soft penalty that was given against Joachim Andersen. He was very disappointed by that decision when the penalty was awarded. You look at the goal, the penalty against Liverpool. Would they have scored outside of a set play, whether it be a free kick or a penalty? I'm not necessarily sure they would have done. And it was a soft penalty for me. I still stand by that. And I think to myself, on another day, that penalty might not have been given. And that's Liverpool, who are the reigning champions, of course. So let's not forget Manchester City. I think they are a wonderful side. Pep Guardiola is a great coach. And sometimes I think you have to think to yourself, yes, okay, they are the better side and we will find it tough whenever we play them. But yes, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, all of the sides up at the top of the table. Look at what we did to Leicester, and I think they're a very talented side.
Yeah, I was just thinking while we're talking about it. Look at Leicester City.
Yeah, brilliant, up at Leicester. I think what he did, and it goes down as a tactical masterclass, and I think sometimes that goes under the radar. You look at a lot of sides and they play that high line, so there's space for forwards to run in behind, and you give somebody like Jamie Vardy's time and space, he's going to eat you alive. He loves to get that opportunity just to go one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and he can cause you problems. So our defence sat a little bit deep, gave him a little bit of space in front, and he had to work from wide areas, and the two central defenders went out there, coped with that, and it goes down as a tactical masterclass from Scott for me. Because I think he's a talented coach, and I think he looks at opposing sides and sort of views them on their merits. Jamie Vardy, if you stop him playing, Leicester aren't a one-man side. I'm not silly enough to say that. But he is a key talisman for them. And I think Scott got that absolutely spot on.
Right, and I agree with that. And you can look at the Liverpool match as well. He stopped them from playing. And Giannis, I want to get your thoughts. And I'm glad that we're going to end talking about this because it's going to lead us to the next match, talking about Chelsea. And I'll say it again. Why can't they? Because I think part of it has to do with the tactics of Parker and really learning his craft and being able to put out these game plans that the players are playing for. They're playing for the manager. They are executing what he wants them to do, and it's paying dividends. So why can it not continue to pay dividends against Manchester United, Chelsea, Tottenham? Why can't it?
There's no reason why not. I mean, as Jamie said, the game against City, City looked very good. I didn't realize that at the time, but it was really the beginning of City tightening the ship. I mean, defensively, they've looked absolutely ironclad since that game. I mean, the first goal, the hits were five minutes gone. And that, the penalty annoys me. Because at that point, we still had a chance of being in there. But the results since, let's look at the game against Southampton, where, even without Romeo and even without Nathan Redmond, they found, there's still a really tough time and they didn't really break us down. They found it difficult. And if we keep it this tight, we're going to be difficult to break down. But the pace up front is going to really worry teams. And we talked about this early, Jamie, in the show about, if we were to bring in a striker, and our Dwight Gayle rumours have come out again. And I pondered on the fact that if you've got Lookman playing on one side and Dacondova Reed in the other, but you've got Gayle in the middle, you've got a problem. Because if you are defending like Lions and now that we take you on the counter, watch out. Very, very quick. And that's why I thought that might happen. But as long as we're staying defensively compact like we've been doing, and again, Scotty, then we're in every game. We're in every game. And as I said, next Friday is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, great stuff. Jamie, thank you so much for joining Giannis and I tonight. I call this Friday Night Phone. We've done a few of these, and it doesn't happen often that we can do a Friday night show. But thank you so much for joining Giannis and me.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for the invite.
Okay. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed it, my friend.
It was wonderful. And thank you for coming on, Jamie. Please give our best to Gentleman Jim. Keep those wonderful comments coming to have me rolling on the floor.
Jim passes on his best to you both and to everyone watching and listening.
I'll share this one thing. I literally, Jamie, watched all kinds of highlights of the playoff final, and it's just so wonderful to hear Jim. And I'll just keep saying that I watched back the match, the entire match, and just to hear Jim's comments, it's just so wonderful to hear him. And please give him our best. Definitely give him our best.
Of course, he's a great guy, and he loves what you do. So keep up the good work.
Okay, great. Well, listen, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk for a very special guest, Jamie Reed from FFCTV and Giannis Giannis. I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.